everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
People over there, what's up?
Oh, what's up, Mega Maniacs? Welcome to another edition of the most interactive post-RAW experience available, the RAW Post Show, here on Mega Powers Radio. Always want to hear what you guys got to say about tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, where we saw the return of the John Cena United States Open Challenge, the return of King Barrett, and a number of other things going on with Kane and the Team PCB Divas Revolution thing. We got a lot to talk about here on the Raw Post Show, but we want to know what y'all got to say, and I'll tell you how to get your voice heard. But first, I want to tell y'all about a number of ways you can support the show here. If you enjoy listening to us, the number one way you can help this show keep going is by finding us on Patreon. So search on Patreon for Mega Powers Radio. Donate generously, but for as little as $1, you can help keep the lights on here, where we can give you all great content like the Raw Post Show, the Daceman Show, the All Talk Show, and various other things ending in show. If you also want to support us, join us live every single Monday night here on Mega Powers Radio. And you can also subscribe to us on all the archive means if you cannot make it on Mondays. We are on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. And links to all these can easily be found on smarkoutmoment.com. And while you're at all those places, rate, review, invite your friends. The bigger the crew, the more fun we can have here in the most interactive post-RAW experience available. And how is it interactive? Well, join us through all the various means I'll tell you about. The most fun way, of course, is dialing in with your phone. Pick it up. Hit in the number 760-512-7247. Wait patiently. We're going to be opening up the phone lines around 11:30. Sooner you call in, the sooner you will get on. You could also use Skype, if that is your preferred method. We got the chat room opened on Blog Talk Radio's page. Shoutouts to the folks here early. Kaylin Ferris, Grapple This Productions, Mono Apex, The Anonymous Raw, and Wazili. The Anonymous Raw, is that a new one? Have we ever seen that one before?
I've seen an Anonymous Raw GM, but I've never seen an Anonymous.
Maybe it's some type of invasion.
We got to see whatever they posted the chat. If it goes, dling, dling, and then we'll know who it is. It's Hornswoggle.
Oh, so that's what he's doing with his suspension.
That does make sense. He got suspended, so now he's hanging out with us here on the Raw Post Show. Before we get any further into the bullshitting, you can join us on Twitter at Raw Post Show and on the Facebook on the official Mega Maniacs group. I am here, head real. All right, guys. In the meantime, we're going to get the show started with us hosts here. If you've listened to us before, you know who we are. But if you haven't, let me introduce the voices you've heard. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. I'll be running the show here, but joining with me are two of my favorite folks in the family. First off, Mr. Tony Mango. Tony over there, what's up?
Present.
And also Mr. Steven Huego. Huego over there, what's up?
Present.
I didn't say anything about presents.
Oh. Oh, it's presents. Seth Rollins got a present.
Seth Rollins did get a present tonight. However, I don't think many people felt like they got a present after watching this edition of Raw. That seems to be the general consensus. I know you guys have both made a number of comments, both throughout our private chat that we had on I shouldn't say private, because you all can join it in the Facebook group, the Mega Maniacs, that we have during the show, and also privately while we were on the Skype call beforehand. But let me ask you guys, what's the number one thing you took from this show tonight, Tony?
I should have gotten more sleep. Because, man, this wore me out. And it wasn't like, oh, it was so crazy that I feel like I ran a marathon or whatever. It just, like, there was a point in the show, and I can't pinpoint exactly when, probably because I forget it, that things just took a nosedive. And man, this was not the textbook episode of like, you want hardcore, awesome action that really will get you pumped? Watch Monday Night Raw. It was like, eh, you want to put something on, go to sleep? Put on the second and the third hours of Raw.
If I know you like I know you, I'm going to guess that it nosedived somewhere around when New Day left the screen.
I wouldn't go that far. Although that was definitely like, this is a great episode.
Have you seen that video going around? It was a Vine where this guy had his sleeping girlfriend whose snores sound like an airplane.
I thought that was fantastic.
Wago, what's the number one thing you took away from this show?
Pretty much the same thing as Tony, that this...
You should have gotten more sleep.
Yeah, pretty much that. Fuck me. This was a like tiring episode. It was very hard to digest. This was the perfect example of when it's bad to have 3 hours. And you said, Tony said he wouldn't go that far. I say that's about the time it took a nosedive for me tonight. After the U.S. title challenge, fucking it went terrible.
Grab some comments out of the chat room here. The Anonymous Raw GM says, Raw was blah. Mono Apex saying, this was a generic Raw. Grapple This Production saying, is Jeb Bush up in here? This is low energy. Sorry, as they said, we're all tired. This was a tiring Raw, but we're going to pick up the energy because we always have fun here in the Raw post show. We want to know what you guys took away from this edition of Raw. What's the number one thing, or if you just have something that you want to really rant about, use all those means I told you about before. Chat room is already going nicely. I don't know if I want to read what this says here. Grapple This Productions. Raw tonight was like the British Prime Minister with his man part in the mouth of a dead pig. In theory, maybe a good idea, but in practice, not so much. Is that what happened?
And so the story going around is he, for his college initiation, he fucked a dead pig.
Now, did it have to be dead? Was that part of the deal? Or was it kind of like, I can't catch one of these?
Well, the question is, would you prefer a live or dead one?
I'd prefer to eat a pig.
Well, yes. I don't think that's going to be a college initiation, though.
I mean, maybe... Because I've heard of stories like where they blindfold you, make you stick your dick in something. Maybe he didn't know it was a dead pig.
Huh.
So maybe this is when Miss Piggy cheated on Kermit, and that's why they broke up.
I think you're onto something.
It's all the British Prime Minister's fault. Damn it, now we have to go to war with England again. They ruined the Muppets.
Does that mean that Miss Piggy is dead the whole time?
Oh.
Are we getting into, like, some Sixth Sense?
I mean, what if, like, hold on, hear me out. What if she's been dead and she's only been moved through another person's hand shoved up her butt?
That's a college initiation.
All right. I think we've taken this as far as we can go with it. So let's get started with some actual wrestling talk. I'm going to shake things up. I am going to start this show off with an edition of Who Said It? So those of you listening to the show before, this is a game we play here where I read you a line that was said on the show tonight, and the other hosts here have to tell me who said it. So for the first one we're going to have here is, you about to get lost in the woods!
Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods, indeed. So we had the start of the show here with John Cena coming out for the U.S. Open Challenge. It is back. Thank goodness. One of the better things that we've had going on throughout this year. John Cena's got the title back. Bring back the Open Challenge. Hell yes. He doesn't waste any time, actually. He usually does a big speech beforehand. This was pretty quick. And he said, all right, you want some? Come get some. Answered by a trumpet playing his theme song. Well, that can only be one thing. It's the New Day coming out, and one of my absolute favorite parts of this was Big E always takes the mic before they come out, and they usually say something like, oh, don't you dare be sour, clap your hands and feel the power. But he said something else tonight, and I'm probably not going to get 100%, but it was something like, oh, John Cena, you are total booty, you're going to get your butt kicked like it's your duty. It was really good. As a matter of fact, they were really playing the booty thing up, which if you've been seeing their Vines and their Instagrams and stuff, they've been doing a lot of the booty jokes with Team Bad, which has been one of the better things to watch related to wrestling the last number of weeks. So New Day coming out to answer the challenge. Of course, not all three of them can answer it as much as they would probably like for that to be the case. I assume they would have sent in Big E, but as a shocker, they sent in Xavier Woods. We have John Cena versus Xavier Woods for the United States title. Not a bad match. Honestly, probably the best outing we've ever seen Xavier Woods have when you consider majority of his other matches were against Brodus Clay. And that's about all I can think. I think he actually feuded with CJ Parker when he was in NXT. I mean, who didn't?
That'll be great.
Cena gets him in the STF, but Big E and Kofi run in to cause the disqualification. Dudley Boyz come out for the save, and, well, what do you know? This leads to a tag match, playa. Nothing of note, really, out of the tag match. New Day sneaks a roll-up victory out of this, and we have nothing settled here. But it was a fun few segments. Fellas, let me ask you what you got to say about it. Tony, I know you're the most excited.
Oh, New Day's fucking great. Like, they just keep doing amazing shit. Even like what you said, like they keep doing the booty thing, just repeating it is funny. Like, I don't find a lot of this kind of humor funny normally, so I don't know why New Day makes it so good. But like hearing Kofi just be like, "Your booty, son, your booty," just enunciating it. Like, no. We can all establish that you are indeed booty, John.
John Cena equals booty.
A lot of great lines and stuff. I was curious about one thing, though. Why was John Cena all, like, pissed off and super serious? There's a time to joke around, and there's a time to be serious.
He did. Right? Like, I thought he was going to, like, smile and get into it.
Well, here's the thing. I noticed when they was coming out and started doing all of their spiel, he kept trying to do the serious face, but he couldn't because he found it too funny. He kept corpsing. Yeah. So I'm wondering if he, like, just got in the mindset where he's just like, fuck you guys, because I have to be, otherwise I'm going to laugh.
Maybe, but it really struck me as odd because it was just kind of like, hey guys, I'm the U.S. champion again. Let's do that fun thing. All right, well, if New Day's going to answer the challenge, then fuck you because this is real serious. God damn it. We're going to talk about pediatric cancer or something. It was like, whoa, like what the hell, dude? You're just...
about to feel the wrath of aftermath.
Yeah, like goddamn, John, you are not feuding with these people. There's no like bitter rivalry or anything. But
I don't have an issue with it. At the end of the day, it's defending a championship belt. He should be serious.
Yeah, he should be. But I mean, like, it struck me as odd, especially because New Day is like, yeah, we're just gonna, you know, win titles and play a trumpet and talk about Scrooge McDuck. Like, what the hell?
Oh, that was a good one. That Scrooge McDuck joke.
Yeah.
The chat room apparently did not take Cena very serious. We have two comments right in a row here. The anonymous Raw GM saying, Cena serious. Now that is funny. Followed up by Grapple This Production saying, Cena was super serial. He has all the range of Steven Seagal.
You know who has all the looks of Steven Seagal? Lana.
Damn.
If you follow the Mega Maniacs group, you would know that what the joke is about.
Yeah, okay. Well, unfortunately, I gotta say, the return of the United States Open Challenge was kind of a dud, though. Maybe I'm just disappointed I didn't get full points. Damn it, New Day. Ruining my points.
I was actually impressed with what Xavier and Cena was doing, but they cut it off too early. I would have rather just had a full-length match than this throw-together six-man tag. But that's probably because they give us that many tag matches now that it's just oversaturated.
I was shocked Xavier hit his finisher. I was shocked I knew what his finisher was.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has a finisher?
It's that one where it was Gil Kim's old finisher. The Eat Defeat.
Oh, I thought he had something called the Honor Roll.
Oh, he did use that too.
Do you know what he calls his finisher?
What?
I don't know, I'm asking you.
Oh, no. Maybe he still calls it Eat Defeat.
It did sound like Tony knew the answer, though.
Yeah, right? Or at least he had a joke or something.
Wait, I'll try to think of something really, really lame.
All right, well, moving along here, we have the Authority in their office in the back with some random blonde chick. We come to find out that her name is Ashley. I've decided that her name is Ashley Hairbun Burr. Is that good? Can we go with that? Can we add that to the list?
By the way, his finisher is the Knock on Woods.
Awesome.
Or the Neck of the Woods.
Or it's a neck breaker. Can we call it the Would You Stop? In honor of Gorilla. I think that'd be a nice little shout out. Anyway, we have Ashley, the Authority, in the back. Kane comes in and he is told that he will be having a performance evaluation tonight due to an anonymous tip. Seth Rollins enters in soon after, playing very coy, like, oh, who would dare do such a thing? This was a big story we had going on throughout the night. We'll come back to this, though. We got Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose backstage discussing Roman's match with Bray Wyatt. That's our big advertised main event tonight. Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, the end of the feud as it's pretty much being positioned, or Roman Reigns is going to end it. That's how they were saying it. We'll get into that. Orton enters into the room. Odd tension between Ambrose and Orton. I'm not really sure what they were trying to build here. Any of you guys have any light you can shine on this?
Randy Orton doesn't play well with others. Neither does Dean Ambrose. But they're going to have to put aside their differences in a couple weeks.
To take care of a little girl.
I'll go to the papers if I have to.
That would actually be like a really like dumb WWE Films movie they would do. Like somehow both of them end up getting like a little girl dumped into their laps and the two of them have to like take care of her. No?
I could see it.
I was just digesting it for a second and just thinking, wow, how terrible.
I mean, they're definitely starting to use Ambrose as a movie star, as they should. I haven't gotten to see that new 12 Rounds movie he's done, but I've heard nothing but positive things. Have you guys seen it?
It actually looked good. I want to see it, and I don't know if that's just a stigma that I have against John Cena, or if that he genuinely just looks like he'll fit the role.
Now I got to binge watch the first 11 rounds.
We have a rousing matchup. You know, I thought that there was no matchup we could have that is more played out and could make me tune off the TV more than Sheamus and Randy Orton. But WWE reminded me of it. Big Show versus Mark Henry. Holy shit. And I think, Wago, you made the comment. Once upon a time, two big behemoths like this, you could build that to be a major, major matchup. Not tonight on Raw. This was a squash match, if you could fucking believe it. Mark Henry completely looked like the jobber, which is nothing new for him at this point. But Big Show just making him look like a total jabroni. You could hear a pin drop during this match. The crowd did not care. Big Show's yelling, I'm a damn giant! You hear me?
Okay.
Big Show wins this. I think he did a promo after this, or maybe it was later. I don't know. I didn't care. You guys have anything you have to add? I mean, I get them making Big Show look strong. They have him coming in this match against Brock Lesnar. I just did not like watching him. And Mark Henry.
Makes sense. I mean, world's strongest man gets beaten. It's a little bit of an accolade that you can do, but at the same time, don't care. I like both these guys, and both of them can have really good matches if they're right with the right people and stuff, even with each other. But this is clearly just set up for Saturday. Mm. And, you know, I knew that this wasn't something that I really would have needed to see. I missed it and kind of thankful that I went and did something else. Better use of my time.
Was it getting food?
Yes, it was.
All right, yeah. Getting food is definitely more worth time than Big Show and Mark Henry.
Twice baked potatoes, man.
And you know who would totally agree with you? Big Show and Mark Henry.
And Ryback.
There's nothing positive that I've got to take away from this match. And I understand that they're pushing him, but what does beating Mark Henry mean? And at this point, what does Big Show mean? He's been beaten up so many times and made look so weak over the course of his career. Nobody's going to suddenly buy that he's going to be a legitimate competitor against Brock Lesnar.
So Mono Apex poses a question in the chat room. Is Big Show going to be able to hit Lesnar with the knockout punch? And if he does, what happens?
You really want to put him over? Have him kick out of it.
The last time, don't you remember the last time he was hit with the KO punch? He bailed out the ring and still got to his feet. He just got rocked by it. He didn't get knocked out.
Well then.
Was that during that beatdown thing?
That was the Royal Rumble match.
I like how they're just completely not mentioning that match. They're like, yeah, let's talk about this match from 10 years ago instead. Pretty much the premise of the build for this match.
Well, unless you saw the Brock Lesnar video package, and then it was like, here's 100 chair shots. Mm. Remember when that happened, Big Show? And he's like, no.
No. Well,
that's because he got hit in the head with a bunch of chairs.
No. We had an edition of Miz TV tonight. This is becoming a very regular thing. I guess they just don't have any interest in Miz actually wrestling matches. He's just going to do the Miz TV for now. What do you guys think of that?
I didn't even know he did Miz TV tonight. I thought this was Charlotte and Becky hour.
Well, it turned into that. They totally hijacked the show. You know, they came in, they said however a bunch of times, they made their own segment on it, and then they just took the mic away from Miz.
You know, I thought I heard a bell somewhere.
It's a wrestling show. yeah, Charlotte and Becky, who are not just called Team Charlotte Becky, which I would have supposed they would have gone to.
They're Team CB.
CB Radio. No, they're yammering about something. It doesn't fucking Charlotte wants Paige, essentially what she's saying. She calls out Paige to come out so they can either talk it out like respectable people or fight it out like, I guess, not respectable people. I don't know. But ends up getting Team Bella instead. Nikki verbally makes Charlotte look like shit. I mean, I'm not going to say Nikki is God's gift to the microphone, but man, I really just realized how good she has gotten over the years compared to so many of these other women. And Charlotte, and even Becky to an extent, were just not good here. Paige comes out, and none of these women were necessarily bad, I should say. This material was terrible. The essential bickering going back and forth here was, I started the Divas Revolution. No, I started the Divas Revolution. No, I started the Divas Revolution. Holy fuck. They're all bickering. They all finally end up into a brawl. And when we go to commercial, we come back and... what do you know? Another random six person tag team match. Cool. Hadn't seen that in an hour. Wonderful. Paige ends up walking out during this match. Natalya tries to stop her, tries to take her spot, but Paige attacks her from behind. Distraction allows Team Bella to pick up the victory here. And again, nothing is accomplished. Wow. Fellas.
Jesus.
Oh, man. You know, I almost think we should have just kept the title on Nikki at this point. Just let her run this freaking record as long as she could have. Just have her beat random diva every month rather than actually trying to act like you are making change and making no change.
Probably would have made more sense for Paige's speech about, like, no change is actually going to happen.
So... the one thing that I thought about during this whole promo was, shit, AJ Lee? She was overrated, but fuck me, she was leagues above all of these women when it came to the microphone. Wow, Charlotte and Becky stunk out the joint tonight. The Miz, I guess he was there to kind of help the segment along, but he didn't add anything to this. In fact, after a while, there was no point of having him out there. I think it's a crime that he's down to doing this shit, because The Miz is a very capable hand. The Divas Revolution's a bust. I'd be happier if they just took women's wrestling off the main roster and just made it an NXT exclusive at this point.
And then made Eva Marie champion. Anonymous Raw GM in the chat room saying, Charlotte is only champ because of her father, lame in the ring... and lame on the mic.
She's not horrible. I'll say that.
And she's good in the ring.
I don't agree with the ring sentiment.
Yeah, she's very good in the ring.
I think she's just can go out there and perform on the same level as a Sasha Banks, but that's just my opinion.
No, she's very good.
She did much better on the mic tonight than she did last time, I think.
Last week she was just freaking crying her eyes out the whole damn time.
Yeah. But at the same time, I just don't care about this anymore. And one of the reasons why is because of Paige. I don't want to hear Paige bitch and complain. I don't like that character. Whether or not it's, you know, oh, it's real and, you know, she's shooting from the hip or anything like that. I don't care. You could have, I don't know, fucking Heath Slater come out and cut a promo about the backstage hand people that work on shit, one of them bumped into his car and he's all pissed off and whatever. It could be totally real and I wouldn't give a shit. And you can have the divas complain about, well, you got boyfriends and that's why you got to the top and you've got your father, he's the reason why or whatever like that. I know it's like a standard storyline that you can do and whatever, but I don't care. And it doesn't matter who is cutting the same bullshit promo. It's going to be annoying. And the thing that I was thinking about in this whole thing was, where the hell's Team Bad?
Right?
And then they actually said on commentary, I think it was Cole, he was like, and let's not forget about Team Bad. Well, you could have fucking fooled me. The hell they've been for the past couple weeks.
And you know what the biggest crime about this is? How over Sasha Banks was. The crowd was begging for her. And I think it's gone now. You're going to have to completely rebuild her. And she can do it. It will happen. But all that momentum she had is gone now.
The and only you know, way I can see them resolving this Divas Revolution thing is to have all the Divas end up breaking off, going their separate ways when they announce a tournament for the number one contendership for the title.
Ooh.
And focus each week, not on bitchy, shitty segments, but a good 15-minute wrestling match.
I like building, with this.
Build it up.
Wrestling match.
Build it month after month. Have the finals at a big pay-per-view. Shit, do it at Mania if you want. And that way you've built a legitimate challenger, and by that time, I hope, a legitimate champion.
Grapplers Productions, they can rebuild her. They have the technology. Oh, gosh. All right, guys, we're going to move on to the next bit here. I have another edition. Who said it? All right, guys, so tell me, who said it? What's in the box? What's in the box?
Brad Seth Pitt. Rollins?
Yes, to both. Yes, Seth Rollins is backstage with Ashley, the company, what do they call it, HR person, who is doing the evaluation on Kane. Kane enters with a gift for Seth Rollins, a big red box, and Seth Rollins is like, what's in the box, Kane? What's in the box, Kane? Of course, a reference to the movie Seven, if you are under the age of 16, I guess. You might not know that movie. For all of Drew's friends out there. Drew Crew.
What is that guy?
And sure enough, it goes complete Seven reference when Seth Rollins opens up the box. It's the severed head from the bronze statue that Sting had. I like how they not just came full circle on this joke, but full circle on the bronze statue's journey. You know?
Bronze statue, that new Y family member?
They really got a lot of use out of that bronze statue, though. I mean, from the first reference, I remember you said you were at the Dace Man's basement. And, wow, why did I say the Dace Man's basement? It's called the Daceman.
The Daceman.
You were talking about how people were just excited that Seth Rollins was getting a statue. They didn't care that he had won two titles. Yeah. It's like, hey, he's got statues. This is great.
Yeah, my buddy Brett was just like, yes, he's going to get that statue.
Yeah, so that was fun. You were mentioning bronze statue. He was in a match teaming with Luke Harper against the Primetime Players in the next segment. And he wins with his cuddle hug move.
The cuddle hug.
It's pretty much what it is. It does not it doesn't look intimidating at all. It's like
you know how there's Brett the Hitman Hart? He's Braun Cuddle Bug Strowman.
Oh.
Why didn't they just give him a bear hug? Seriously.
I don't know.
Because he's a sheep.
Or like, you know, like Kali used to have the double claw to the cranium.
I hated that move. I fucking hated that move. So really? Bad. Yeah. I'd rather them give him the fucking heart punch.
And the heart punch is awesome. You ever been heart punched?
You don't fuck with a Heart International.
Yeah. all right. Wow, we're blazing through these segments here. Got another addition. What's that?
Maybe you too.
Maybe you too?
We joke. Move on.
No.
They're not all winners.
Is another Seinfeld reference?
All I heard is you two and not all winners, and based off their last album, that's an accurate statement.
Sing! All right, way to save the joke there, Wago. Next edition I have of Who Said It? Give me a bloody mic.
Wade Barrett.
Yes, Wade Barrett making a surprise return tonight. I mean, I wasn't reading the dirt sheets. Maybe people knew about it. I had no idea. We were all scheduled for a match against Stardust versus Neville. And had a fun few minutes here. And just as I was starting to think, like, man, this feud really feels like it's going nowhere. Out of nowhere, Wade Barrett's music and pyro hits. Out comes the King. Interrupts, attacks both guys with a bullhammer for the disqualification. And, cool. Happy to see him back. What do you guys got to say?
Very happy to see him back. He is easily one of my favorite talent they have on the roster. I wanted to see him as a babyface, though. I'm ready for Bad News Barrett as a babyface.
See, I figured that was the deal here, but he did hit Neville. I thought he was going to kind of like just push Neville aside and then hit Stardust, but...
That's what I thought, too. Like, Neville would be like, hey, you out here to, like, fuck with me? And he'd be like, no, 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 you're all right, buddy. I want Stardust.
You're all right, mate.
You're all right.
God, if they need a throw together tag team, though, Neville and Wade Barrett would have been fine, considering they're both from the UK.
Yeah, and that'd be a good, like, you know, fast guy, big guy team.
Yeah, and they can put them up against the Cosmic Wasteland so they can beat them and get through to Stardust. It would have been fine.
Yeah, I like the part where they beat Ascension.
Yeah. I'm always happy when the Ascension loses.
Mm-hmm. Which is all the time.
I know, it's great.
We have Ashley in the ring with Kane, giving the report of how Kane's evaluation went. Seth Rollins comes out, shows a video of Kane being an asshole. Kane responds by showing a video of Seth Rollins being a bigger asshole. So Ashley gives her report saying Kane is sound of mind, but Seth is the one who needs an evaluation. He's a narcissist, he's rude, he's crude. Basically, he's just not a very good person. Seth then shows this to be true by attacking Kane viciously with a chair. He comes in the ring and like starts shoving his title in Kane's face and in his chest, drops the belt, and as Kane goes to be a nice guy and pick the title belt up for him, Seth Rollins just grabs him and puts him into a pedigree.
That's what that was?
Yeah, it was a little awkward, right?
Like, it didn't even look like he was struggling to get out. It just looked like Seth couldn't get his arms behind his back, like his suit was too tight.
I was picturing Kane, like, still having that cheesy smile on his face, like, ah, what are you doing, buddy?
You were giving me a stretch there?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. My shoulder was aching a little bit. Thanks.
Oh, you're giving me a pedigree? I didn't really ask for one, buddy, but...
I love that character of Kane. I hope that manages to continue for a little longer.
Call him Glenn Parks.
Yeah, there you go. Seth attacks him with a chair, does the whole spot where he puts his ankle into it and smashes it, leading to Kane getting stretchered out. I hate that I just used the term spot, by the way. I hate when I use smarky terms like that. I gotta go wash my tongue off. Kane gets taken out to the ambulance. Eventually, the ambulance turns into smoky, red-lighted mess. Demon Kane comes out, limps for a little bit, stomps his ankle back into place, charges to the ring, and extracts his vengeance on Seth Rollins. The Demon Kane looks like he's in full swing. And this is why I say I'm not sure if we're going to see the Corporate Kane much anymore. Whatever. Cool. I could do this for a month. I don't need to see a big Kane run. I don't need him to win this title. But this is fine for Hell in a Cell, where you have a bigger match than the title match anyway.
It was a decent spot. Tyler looked decent in this. And but as far as all this whole thing goes, the segment ran on a little too long, and I enjoyed the small segments that they did. But when they're just trading videos, it's essentially, hey, buddy, fuck you. Nah, fuck you, guy.
Hey, fuck you, you broke the rules. But fuck you, you broke the rules to get me breaking the rules.
Yeah, that was a running theme tonight, and I just got tired of it. I appreciate Kane when he's doing comedy. He's actually one of the better guys to do it with. But I think he could have, like, half the time on this segment, and it would have delivered a lot better.
What was that one part during the very first segment where Kane gets in Seth's face? He's like, you need to remember, Seth, I am the man. With exceptional skills at handling myself at high-pressure situations.
See, I love that type of shit. But then when it just became to the, so did I do good at my job? Yes, you did. I don't care at that point.
Oh, no. As I said, one of my favorite parts of the whole show last week was when Kane did the high five to Stephanie and, like, the thumbs up. Toad, do you have anything to add to this?
I got to disagree with Wago on one thing. I don't think that it went on a little bit too long. I think it went on way too long. God damn. I don't know if I dozed off or what, but I do remember my attention not being on the promo that was happening, turning around and being like, holy fuck, this is still going on? This just went forever.
They could have done a commercial break there. Would have made a lot more sense.
They could have cut down 75% of what Seth Rollins said.
Mm-hmm.
77%.
And really, like, this whole thing with Ashley and the human resources thing or whatever like that, it's stupid. But okay, that's like the focal point. Do that. You don't need to have Seth Rollins come out and cut the same promo he's going to be cutting for the next 2 weeks. You don't need to have him come out and cut the same promo he's been cutting for the past year about Kane. Like, I don't know. I didn't like this at all. I'm okay with the feud happening for Hell in a Cell, but I'm done with it already when it comes to this. Like, they just did everything that they needed to do over the course of this whole month in this segment, and it wasn't even entertaining.
We got Wazili in the chat room saying, props to Kane for getting his suit off, red eye makeup, and mask on in such a short time. Maybe that's why Seth Rollins' promo was on so long. Kane had to do his makeup.
Wow, he even did the makeup?
He did do the makeup, yeah.
You know what? Shit. A commercial break still would have worked better, but hats off to him for doing that in that quick of a time.
Mm-hmm. And he also managed to grow his hair out like 20 inches.
I know, that was fucking impressive.
All right, so we had Randy Orton versus Bo Dallas. Orton wins via RKO. Nothing to say, right? Thanks for coming, Bo.
I actually liked when Bo Dallas dropped the fucking Super Bowl line and they're looking at him like, oh, it's not fun anymore. It's like, we're having a good time wrestling. Oh.
And then Michael Cole even pulled the line, or though I think it was JBL, after Randy Orton got the victory and was posing, and is like, yeah, well, Randy Orton has something that the Buffalo Bills don't. 18 championships.
I didn't catch that one.
It's like, good thing he didn't say that to the live crowd.
Yeah, I know, fuck me. It's like, so they just screwed these guys over on the microphone and on commentary.
Yeah, they totally buried them.
We're going to comp you tickets, guys. And we're going to make sure that we get every use out of you possible.
Cool. Could we be on TV? Yeah. Sure. We might even make you part of a story.
Yeah, we're bringing R-Truth back. People over there, fuck you.
People in the same spot, fuck you. So they announced the match was coming up after the commercial break that actually piqued my interest a bit, and I know it did a few other people as well. Kevin Owens versus Rusev. Interesting for a few reasons. These are two big, bullish guys, and they're both heels. So I thought it was kind of neat that they were putting this match on. We come back. They're coming out to the ring. Ryback is on commentary. This fight only lasts about a minute. Eventually, they find their way spilling the fight into Ryback. Ryback starts fighting both of them. They gang up on Ryback. Dolph Ziggler comes out. I don't even know what happened.
Kevin Owens bailed and was like, hey, buddy, my title, buddy.
And the guy in the back that controls the music was like, I want to hear Ziggler's theme a bunch of times.
I think Ziggler had a new shirt.
Yeah, he did. Looked awful.
Huh. Cool.
He's got to do something at home, right?
So I'm guessing next week on Raw, tag match, right?
Yeah.
I'm almost surprised it didn't happen this week.
I really kind of expected them to. I was thinking to myself, all right, well, we've got the New Day situation, which actually, like, when they started doing the U.S. title match, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is going to turn into a tag match. But I thought it was going to be for, like, the end of the show kind of a thing.
Mm.
Then this happens, and I'm like, don't make this a fucking tag match, because I know the Wyatt family one's going to be one. Thankfully, you know, we'll talk about that later or whatever. But I was just like, if we have three segments on this show where people have a singles match and it turns into a tag match, then, you know, giant middle fingers all around.
We had Paul Heyman coming out to the ring. He actually had a very, very short promo. He got interrupted by Big Show, who scared him away and scared a lot of viewers away, I'm sure, too.
I was like, oh, Paul Heyman, this should be good.
Aww.
God damn it, Big Show. Like, I look, Paul's been on a roll, too, where he's just had these crazy fucking speeches where he's almost seizing in the ring. And then we got this tonight. They can't all be winners, but when you see Paul Heyman, you normally expect good times.
Well, you know what? We're upset that Paul Heyman was taken away from us, and that's heat for Big Show. So they are doing what they should be doing.
X-Fuck Heat.
You know what they're not doing? Their job with thinking of better phrases. Eat, sleep, beat Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden, repeat.
Yeah, is he going to do it again?
Yeah, they're just going to do this like every week. Go to Madison Square Garden and beat Brock Lesnar. Jesus, God. They couldn't have fucked
something. He goes backstage. Hey, guys, you hear my line? Fuck, it was like when I got Kane with that May 14th.
Well, here's why I tell you they can't do that again. Because that event is this Saturday. And during Raw, they aired a commercial saying that there's still tickets available.
Yeah. You mean Big Show isn't a draw? Surprise.
Indeed. Well, they did add John Cena and Seth Rollins in a steel cage match. I don't know if that's going to be on the live network special, but that's what they advertised on the commercial.
They have a couple other matches, too. Kevin Owens and Jericho, I think, is one match.
Ooh. And I think they're doing the tag match for the titles.
Yeah, tag match.
You remember how Chris Jericho was a heel?
No? You remember Chris Jericho?
Who?
He hasn't been around for the past couple weeks.
You mean the guy who filled in for Randy Orton?
No, the guy who filled in for Stone Cold.
Yeah, but Stone Cold's back now. That's why Jericho's gone away.
Isn't it kind of fitting that Randy Orton and Stone Cold both kind of have the same move?
And they're snakes.
And they are snakes. All right. Wow.
It's fucking terrible.
Well, I'm going to slither into this next segment here. We have Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns, our main event for the evening. Building this up as the conclusion of this feud, it did not seem that way. From the very beginning, Bray Wyatt comes out with his goons. Says he wasn't going to, but he came out with his goons.
Buddies. People with their goons.
Yeah. He sent them away, though. We actually got a pretty damn good match, I would say, for a good 10, maybe 15 minutes. We did not get a conclusion as these guys fought themselves all throughout the outside of the arena. Not the outside of the arena, but outside of the ring area. They broke down a barricade. Roman Reigns does this crazy spear through a table, and that's how we go off the air. This was a very Attitude Era-esque brawl around the arena. I like this. And while they kind of teased us saying, hey, this will be over. Nah, just kidding. It's not over.
I like
how it went off.
Same. I actually like it when Raw ends in some type of chaos. Not the type of chaos where, oh, we're watching Randy Orton beat Seth Rollins senseless for 15 minutes. This is just complete chaos that ended in a bang. That's what happened tonight, and that's how I like it. You need to reason to tune in for next week after you've suffered for 3 hours. So at least it did that. At least it gave a little more intrigue into this feud because it was lacking up until now.
I'm not as sold on it. We've been seeing these two feud for a while. Nothing's really changing.
Time. And like they were talking about it on commentary. Like this feud started. Remember that whole anyone but you, Roman? Mm-hmm. We just interrupted the match with all those pictures, and that was awesome. But man, that feels like ages ago now.
Well, it started before Money in the Bank.
And the confusing thing is, what the hell is the end game with this?
They move on to somebody else. Just act like it's over.
Yeah, but I mean, like, is there going to be a turn? Is it just... No, I don't know. Yeah. It just seems such a random feud. And for so long, you'd think there should be some light at the end of the tunnel.
And it almost feels like this whole thing, and I think they actually mentioned this on commentary, this just feels like a derailment for what they were doing with either other guy. They were talking about Roman Reigns was having a banner year until Bray Wyatt got in his way. That's sort of what it felt like. Roman Reigns was doing cool things and then plowed.
Whatever the case may be, they need to figure out what they need these guys to be built up for WrestleMania really soon. This can't keep going until Survivor Series.
And you know what else they need to do is get some new fucking clothes for Roman Reigns. Because I am really tired of that chest piece he has.
I think the if you're going to give a new attire to anybody, you need to get a new shirt for fucking Luke Harper.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but Ryback needs to stop rocking the singlet. He looked, now we're on about like changing attire pieces. Guy's fucking shredded now. He used to be doughy as fuck.
So you think he should show off his abs?
Yeah, he should just, like, wear shorts now.
He should just wear nothing.
Yeah, seal the meat.
Oh, all right. Well, with that, we've hit the end of Raw. We really cycled through this one quick. I'm not surprised, but we still have a bit of content left for you guys. So if you have some thoughts you want to get out there, the show's not over yet. Give us a call into the show, 760-512-7247. We'll squeeze you in before we're finished, but we're going to go ahead and get through in our final stuffs here. So I have my favorite commercial for this week. I've actually come up empty-handed with that in a couple weeks, but I finally saw a commercial that made me giggle and really, really laugh at it. It was for Geico. It was inside like a work break room area, and a guy is microwaving a burrito, and all of a sudden, a live rock band starts playing Final Countdown as the microwave gets to the final seconds of the microwave. And it's another one of those Geico commercials like, it's what you do. I think it was something like, if you're the band Europe, you love Final Countdowns. It's what you do. It was just so damn epic. I fucking love that song. Mm. And I would love to program it for any time I have my microwave counting down.
That'd be pretty sweet. Final Countdown's like one of my favorite songs. It's so fucking awesome.
Maybe they planted this as like confirmation that Daniel Bryan's coming back.
Could it be? I think it just means WWE Countdown's coming back.
Oh.
With a final season.
All right. Well, moving on here. I have a new game for you fellas.
Hope it's Parcheesi.
It's not Parcheesi.
I don't even remember how to play that game.
So we've been playing various parts of Who Said It, one of my regulars we have here, and I've been introducing a game called Tap Out the last number of weeks. I have another game I'm going to play this week, and it is called Under the Hood. Wait, Wago can't hear anything?
Yeah, I win.
Sorry, I keep breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Everything's robotic for me, so this might not go smoothly.
All right, well, Tony's probably going to win. So let me explain to you how Under the Hood works. So I'm going to give you guys 10 seconds. And in that 10 seconds, I want you to type into the Skype chat as many examples of the topic that I give you. So very similar to Tap Out. I give you a topic. You have to name examples of it. Only rather than going back and forth, you're going to type it into the chat room. After 10 seconds, I'm going to tell you to stop, enter it in. And the whole point is that you want to have as many unique examples as possible. So you want to have ones that the other person did not list. You feel me?
Maybe.
So basically the goal is you probably don't want to go for ones that are too obvious, but you also, maybe you do, because maybe the other person might not think about it. It's all about your strategy on it.
We'll see how this goes.
Okay. So, the topic for you guys, get your keyboards ready here, is...
I'm going to mute, too, so you don't hear...
No, that sounds intense. Leave it on.
All right, fine.
All right, so you got 10 seconds. Your topic is WWE title belts. Go. 10 seconds. We got 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Tony's... Tony, you don't. Tony did
you
not.
You want me to type it already?
You totally did not pay attention to the rules. All right, 10 seconds is up. Wait, go ahead.
All right, well, then I don't know what the hell you were talking about the rules then.
Well, I said Skype chat.
All right, not well,
the Block Talk radio chat. I also said don't hit enter until I told you to say enter after the 10 seconds.
I'll blame it on Wago not being able to hear right, that it passed through mine not paying attention.
Yeah, Wago, who had the hard time hearing, actually followed the rules, and you completely botched it.
Although he also put light hue, and that doesn't count.
No, light hue does not count. So let's read what Wago has here.
I clicked enter as soon as you told me to click enter.
Okay, there you go. There's still not a light whatever.
It still wouldn't work.
So we have the WWE title, the heavyweight title, the undisputed, the WWE tag team, and the cruiserweight title, and the light hue title.
Oh, and I just totally stopped when you said that I was doing the wrong shit. So.
Well, there's no way you were going to get back there and go in there anyway. So, Wago, you win the edition of Under the Hood, which means that you get to pick how Tony has to read the plugs at the end of the show. Those of you listening in the chat room, you are welcome to give suggestions of how you think Wago should make Tony read the plugs today. So go ahead, think of your funniest or whatever you might want to put in there. Embarrassing, serious, if you really want to go that route. We haven't really had anybody go for a serious, dramatic route.
Really serious? What, like reading like a
like eulogy or something? Like read it like Shakespeare or something. I don't know.
We're gonna end up doing that, aren't
I? All right, in the meantime, we're gonna move on to the next segment, the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and what the most god-awful must-avoid piece of shit part of the show was. it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you in the chat room there have a good, bad, and ugly, go ahead and drop that in the chat room along with your suggestions of how Tony should be forced to read the plugs. In the meantime, we're going to do the ones for the hosts. Wago, are you active enough to be able to say your good, bad, and ugly?
So for my good, I have the New Day. They were on point tonight. A lot of fun. For the bad, I give it to the Kane evaluation segment itself, not the small ones that led up to it. And for the ugly, I'm going to give it to the Divas not-so-revolutionary revolution.
Oof. Tony, you good, bad, and ugly?
I had a couple things written down. So not sure what I'm going to pick outside of the New Day, but the New Day is the good. You know, all the at the same damn time was stuck in my head for a while. You Get Lost in the Woods was great. Scrooge McDuck, that kind of things. Two other funny things that I thought were positives tonight, though, that I would have given the good to if it wouldn't have been for the New Day being so awesome. Two heads are better than one.
Mm-hmm.
And you should do the jumping off a bridge dance.
Who said that?
JBL said that to Byron Saxton.
What, after they like showed that Connor's Cure video?
It was like, oh, we should all do a dance or whatever. And he's just do the jumping off a bridge dance.
Holy fuck, that was cold.
Yeah, it pretty was like, just, oh, okay.
How do you even come back from that?
I think with the bad, I'm going to have to go with that Miz TV segment. Stand up for yourself, Miz. Don't let this women's oppression movement bully you. Just take over the show, goddammit. What the hell? Yeah, ugly, I'm going to have to give to Rollins' promo going on too long. That must have been the real, like, pinpoint part of the night where I was just like, all right, that's it. I'm fucking done with this episode. I can't take it anymore.
All right, I'm going to take a few out of the chat room here. From Grapple This Productions, good, WWE's Keep Dancing campaign, bad, the 10 minutes wasted on the Diva segment, and ugly, King Barrett's pulled punches in his grand return. Did anyone else see that? I didn't see that. Pulled punches?
Maybe. I wasn't paying that much attention to the show.
Pulled internationals?
I don't know, drawing a blank.
All right, well, the anonymous Raw GM, the good Padge. Page, the bad Raw, and the ugly Raw. Wow. Really getting into detail there. Kaylin Ferris, good. Kane pulling a Kaiser Soze with the leg. Bad, Show versus Henry for the bazillionth time. Ugly, pediatric cancer. That's a very deserving ugly. Good choice. I read my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I have to give to the New Day's antics. They were on point tonight. I think I said last week they were not on point. This week, on point. Bad, I have to give to Big Show and Mark Henry. Like, I can't give this to ugly because it's not like there was anything necessarily horrendous, but this was just, if you're trying to show someone, like, hey, this is why wrestling is cool, you should get into this. This isn't necessarily something that'll be like, oh, this is so, like, embarrassing and dumb. They'll just be like, this is boring. So that's why I would throw that in there. Ugly, I have to give that Divas Revolution segment. No one looked good out of this. They all just looked like whiny, bratty, catty little bitches. And in defense of it, JBL spent the next segment basically just going, hey, Michael, you know women, they always be fighting. Huh. That's how they're going to make excuses for this. And no. I am not going to watch and like it. Anything, fellas?
Nope.
I don't even know where I'm going to go with that one. So, with that, Wago, you get to tell Tony how to do his plugs.
Well, I've been given no suggestions, and I'm very disappointed. Oh, so, no.
Wazily said to do him his page.
Tony, can you do a half-decent page?
Oh, no, wait, what? Wazili just gave another one in the chat.
What's that?
Oh, well, I was actually going to suggest our younger friend, but that works too.
Oh, no, we got one from Kaylin Ferris, actually. That one looks like a really good suggestion.
You don't fuck it up.
God damn it.
All right, in the style of Shakespeare.
All right, fuck. I've done two Shakespeare plays. You think I'd be better at this? all right. Maketh sure thou followeth Smark out moment for thine articles that will be posted on thither website. And the Smack Talketh podcast for thine wrestling needs.
That was a really shitty play, wasn't it?
Whether 'tis nobler to check out predictions for Madison Square Garden or not, that is the rub. Followeth Stephen Wago by goeth to his website. StephenWagoeth.com. Join us on the Book of the Face at the Megamaniacs. And keepeth following Mega Powers Radio by going to keepingkbabe.com.
This is worse than like.
All right. Well, there you go. Folks.
In my defense, when I did my plays in high school, I used to make a lot of things into dick jokes. And I couldn't figure out a way to do that here.
I think that would have been easier. All right, folks. Well, if you enjoyed this show, join us every single Monday following Raw live on megapowersradio.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and on smarkoutmoment.com for all the archive means and other ways of checking out the show. Until next week, folks, for Tony Mango, for Stephen Huego, I am Mike Payton. We'll see y'all on the flip-flop.